My guest at this time is Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee. We have him with us today as he outlines his proposed balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It's obviously something that has been debated before here in Washington, and in the mid-1990s came one vote away in the U.S. Senate of actually going to the states for potential ratification. The senator is bringing it back now, saying it's the only way to get our insane debt problem and profligate spending problem under control. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be with you.
I think most people are pretty familiar with the concept, but what exactly does the amendment call for?
Well, what this amendment says basically is that if the federal government wants to spend more money than it has to approve that spending by a supermajority instead of by a mere simple majority, which is what happens now. This would make it possible, but rare and relatively difficult, for Congress to continue spending beyond its means.
In addition to the revenues must not be less than the expenses in the annual budget. There are some other processes involved. You mentioned the two-thirds majority necessary to run a deficit, raise taxes, increase the debt limit. There are also some other things here, including judicial enforcement. Explain that a little bit.
The basic idea is that we want there to be some consequence to Congress not following this. If Congress ignored it, we think that there should be consequences. And that's a point that we hope we never have to reach. The main point is to redraw the vote thresholds from a simple majority to a supermajority, and we think that that's where the bulk of the good that can be done by this is performed.
Now, in terms of the spending beyond the budget, which would require a two-thirds vote, would this type of amendment put an end essentially to the type of things we've seen in recent years where, for many years, the war spending was off the annual budget for whatever reason, and so that was completely separate. And there's obviously natural disaster relief and so forth. Would that simply fall under the two-thirds majority, or do you think it would streamline the way that budgeting is done in the first place?
Well, this refers to all outlays and doesn't contain any exceptions for any of those things. So this would be designed to put within the supermajority requirement all spending, regardless of what category it might be found in.
Right now it's a 55-45 Democratic advantage if you count the two independents with the Democrats, currently the makeup of the Senate. So what do you sense is the level of support right now for this?
Well, you know what's interesting? Polls have suggested that about 75% of Americans favor a balanced budget amendment. It takes two-thirds of both houses of Congress to propose a constitutional amendment, and then you have to have three-fourths of the states ratifying that amendment before it can take effect. In the last Congress, we had a total of 67 votes in the Senate for a balanced budget amendment. It's just they weren't all on the same amendment proposal. We had 20 behind the Republican proposal, and all 47 Republicans in the Senate at the time behind the Republican proposal, and then we had 20 behind the Democratic proposal. You add those together, you have 67. So there are enough votes to get a balanced budget amendment passed, but we just don't have 67 all behind the same proposal.
What's been the main argument you've received against this idea?
Well, you know, there are some who say we don't need for Congress to propose an amendment to the Constitution. We just need Congress to do its job and balance its budget. And I understand that argument. It has a certain appeal to it, and yet experience has taught us that Congress doesn't consider that part of its job. Congress will avoid balancing its own budget again and again, just as it has over the years, and that's why we're now $16.5 trillion in debt, and that's exactly why we need this amendment.
Senator, some on the right are also a little bit dubious of this from a political standpoint. They say, while in many cases this would be a good idea, there are simply too many opponents of this in earnest in Congress right now. But what it would do is give cover to folks who perhaps need some more conservative votes on their record when they're running for re-election so they could easily vote for this, knowing that it would never actually reach the two-thirds majority. What do you tell those folks?
Well, I understand the argument. I just disagree with it. And at the end of the day, if we don't try, every time we think that something's a stretch, every time we think that a particular legislative initiative is going to meet with some resistance, if we don't try, then we'll never get anything done. We'll never succeed. And so I just refuse to capitulate based on the fact that it's not yet apparent how we're going to get the votes we need in order for this to pass.
In the meantime, of course, there's debates coming up on sequestration. There was the temporary extension of the debt ceiling that passed the Senate and the House, and we'll be relitigating that here in just a few weeks. What's your sense on the Republican strategy, first of all, to push that down the road a little bit for perhaps some more leverage in that debate, and how do you expect this to play out?
Well, Republicans want reform. We know that we can't balance the budget overnight, but we know also, first of all, that we have to have a budget in order to have a balanced budget. And so we're pushing for both houses to pass a budget, and we're going to continue to insist for spending reforms moving forward as a condition for any further debt limit extensions or suspensions. What I've long insisted we need is some kind of permanent structural spending reform, one that can stand the test of time and that won't be easy for Congress to back out of. A balanced budget amendment certainly fits that description. There are other ways that we're always looking for that we can bring about permanent spending reform.
What's your attitude on the sequestration? I know there are some conservatives in the House who say if nothing better, if the spending offsets don't pass muster in both chambers of Congress, it would be a bitter pill to swallow, but you got to cut spending somewhere, so let it go through. Others, of course, like the president, say we need the quote-unquote balanced approach with more tax reforms that he say would take away tax loopholes from the rich. How do you think this is going to play out, and what's your solution to this immediate debate?
Well, first of all, I've never been a fan of the sequestration provisions of the Budget Control Act. It's one of the reasons why I voted against the Budget Control Act when it passed in August 2011. I think those cuts affect our defense network disproportionately and in a way that could cause some real problems. I think it's very unfortunate that our defense system should have to pay such a disproportionately large share of the cuts that need to be made. Now, that said, the fact that the president is now saying these either happen or we're going to raise taxes again, I think is unacceptable. I don't think raising taxes is the answer, and I'm certainly going to resist any effort there. Last year, the House of Representatives passed a series of offsets, targeted spending cuts that brought about the same level of spending reform, but did so without disproportionately cutting into defense spending. I think that's what we need, and I hope to see the House pass that again this year, and I'd like to see the president sign it after the Senate passes it.
Well, Senator, we'll have to leave time there. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.